First reading is taken from Peter's first letter, chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. The baptism and testing of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, if the hairdressers don't open soon, we're going to have problems. I'm looking like an advert for Boris. And this morning I plastered my hair down with grease and it hasn't revived yet. So there we go. I want to look at that passage, just one verse really, from 1 Peter 3, which we had read by Paul this morning. This passage as a whole is not an easy one. And in actual fact, William Barclay, the theologian, in his commentary says, "It is one of the most difficult in the whole New Testament, but begins with something which anyone could understand," which is pretty good, really. And I suggest if you want an exposition of the whole of that passage, have a word with Peter Williams, because he's here. And I'm sure Peter will be able to explain it to you. Now, it's verse 18 that I want to look at this morning. It stands on its own in a way, because the phrase "once for all" embodies a profound truth that we hear about constantly here at Buckingham Parish Church, where it says here, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Christ died once for all for our sins. Never needs repeating. It's central to our faith, and this verse also tells us his death on the cross was the righteous for the unrighteous. It was a vicarious death. Jesus died in our place. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, writes Paul in 2 Corinthians. He took our place, and he was indeed the one who acted vicariously on our behalf. Now, the last phrase of verse 18 tells us that the result of his death was to bring you to God, to bring me to God. And the amazing truth of all this is that God loves us so much that he became himself in order to die for us. The incarnation is, of course, essential to our gospel, that God incarnate became a baby in a stable and went to a cross as the Son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the fact was that there was no other way. Now, our sinfulness separates us from God. He is a holy God. He cannot look on sin. He can't ignore sin. Our sin causes God great pain. It separates us from God. It separates us in our relationships with the world that we live in. And it separates us from others and the created order. And our sin spreads like weeds in a garden. And I'm not a very good gardener, but I know how weeds spread. And sin spreads like weeds in a garden. If not needed, they will overrun. If not weeded, they will overrun it. And it was into that situation that Christ came. There was no other way to bring us to God but through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. He died for us, and he, in fact, was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. He died once for all for us. And when he died on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished," and he breathed his last. Because that's why he came. It need never be repeated. And I want to look at the book of Hebrews in a little while. And, just for a little while. I'm not going to go into it very deeply. But it does really give us some helpful references to how this whole idea of the sacrificial system of Christ's death for us came into being. The writer of Hebrews talks about the Old Testament sacrificial system, because it was a foreshadowing of the death of Christ. It taught the Hebrew people that God hated sin, that it separated them from a holy and righteous and just God. He gave them the Ten Commandments, which they constantly broke, they constantly failed to keep. And we know that within ourselves, that we have God's rules, we have God's laws, we have God's guidance, but we sin all the time, we let the Lord God down, we sin against him and against others. And this passage in the Hebrews taught them that this barrier caused by sin needed to be removed in order to bring reconciliation between a sinful humanity and a holy God. It taught them that this barrier needed to be removed. It taught them that there was a cost to be paid in order to remove that barrier. It taught them that because of their sinful nature, someone else who was the perfect one needed to bring reconciliation, to remove that barrier in some way, to pay the cost, to pay the price. And that was done each day when the priest killed a sacrifice, the lamb. And it had to be without blemish, the lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb. And its blood was shed, and its blood was taken by the priest, and it was sprinkled on the altar in the tabernacle or the temple. And the scripture said that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And then once a year, there was a special day, the Day of Atonement. And on that day, the high priest, who was the top man, so to speak, he made the sacrifice by killing the sacrificial lamb. The high priest did once a year, the Day of Atonement. And it was for this sin, it was for his sin and for the sin of the people that he did it. And he took the blood of the sacrifice into a special part of the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. It contained the Ark of the Covenant, which was made into an altar. But he only went in there once a year, and only he was allowed to go in. And he took with him the blood of the lamb that had been slain, which he had slain. He took that blood of the lamb and sprinkled it on the altar for his own sin, and then for the sin of the people. And the Jews today still celebrate the Day of Atonement. They don't kill any animal, but the point is the same, that they look for that sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. And the book of Hebrews explains that Christ fulfilled all that the Old Testament sacrificial system was a shadow of. It tells us that the Old Testament sacrificial system was put in place to teach several deep truths. They were a primitive people. They were exercising and doing things that were done all the time in the societies in which surrounded them. So although it's barbaric to us, it wasn't barbaric to them. But God was teaching them that he was a holy God, that he couldn't ignore sin. And humans, by nature, are sinful. They need continual forgiveness. The heart of man is deceitful above all things, it says in Jeremiah, and who can understand it? And God loves us and his desires to forgive us, but he's teaching here that he can't just ignore sin. And that's what that sacrificial teaching was, the animals in the Old Testament, was teaching the people. It was teaching them about the holiness of God and the love of God. And the fact that we are separated from God and from each other and the world that we live in by our wrongdoing, which we deliberately do, despite the fact that we know the right way, that God had given them the right way, but they failed to walk in it. Now, as I say, the sacrificial system of the Old Testament may seem barbaric. It is barbaric in many respects. But God needed to teach humankind that he desired to forgive them. And the system of sacrifice, where an animal was sacrificed to pay the price of sinful, wicked behavior, was given to teach them that there needed to be an atonement. That barrier needed to be removed. If you have an argument between two people, you can't come together. You're at loggerheads with one another until somebody says sorry or somebody comes along and removes that barrier. And that barrier of sin that's in our lives that separates us from God is removed when we put our faith in Christ, because Christ died in our place. He was our sin bearer. The God is a holy God. Humans by nature are sinful, and we need continual forgiveness. That's why it was repeated time and again, day after day, week after week. It taught the people that God desired to forgive the wayward people that he loved, that they were a people and he loved them. And by this, it was just a foreshadowing of what God was going to do. That the Old Testament sacrificial system was looking forward into that time when Christ himself, that God himself, would come as a baby to go to a cross to be our sin bearer. Of course, there was no efficacy at all in the Old Testament system in itself, in that it had to be repeated every day. The blood of animals couldn't wash away sin. Once a year, an enactment by the high priest couldn't take away sin. But it was teaching them about that God desired to forgive and needed to forgive and wanted to forgive. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews showed Jesus. It showed Jesus, God incarnate, was what God was preparing them for and for us. It shows Jesus was the high priest. Jesus, therefore, was the high priest, the one who took the blood of the sacrificial lamb into the Holy of Holies, which was heaven itself. And the blood he took wasn't the blood of a sacrificed animal, it was his own blood. God laid on him the iniquity of us all, and it was once and for all. He only had to do it once. Why? Well, because it was his own blood. Jesus was, I say, the high priest, who also was the sacrificial lamb, the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. God incarnate, Jesus, had taught the people that a truth of Scripture, that without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins, was fulfilled, not through the sacrifice of animals, but ultimately by the sacrifice of his own self. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. And he did it once for all. It didn't need repeating. Christ himself, once and for all, offered to bear the sin of many. The righteousness for the unrighteous, it says, to bring us to God. Why? Because he loved us. And there's no other way. I want to tell you a little story. It's a a true story, in actual fact. It's of a friend of mine. I think I've told this story on a Sunday night, but you, none of you were there, so it doesn't matter. But it's a story about a friend of mine called Arthur Dean. And Arthur Dean and I worked together in the 60s. He was the evangelist at Cliff College, the Methodist college in Sheffield. And we did beach missions. We did beach missions at Bridlington, on the pier, on the box. And we stood and we used to sing, Bridlington Landlady's theme song. Let's twist again like we did last summer. And in actual fact, it was a wonderful time. And the thing, Arthur, when he was at Cliff College, they had a matron there that was rather tough on the students. And he was in his room, he says, one day, and he was playing around with his mates. They were all larking about in his room. And they were flicking ink blobs, like married men and, mature men do. And they were flicking ink blobs around, and one of them splattered on the wall. Well, you know what ink blobs do, it got bigger. And the more they tried to get rid of it, the bigger it got. And so they were all thinking, what's the matron going to say when she sees this? So they had a meeting and they decided that they moved all the furniture around. And so that the wardrobe covered the ink blob. And Arthur said, it looked perfect. You couldn't see there was any ink blob at all. And he said, I went out feeling very content. I came back later that evening. He said, I walked into my room and I thought, this isn't my room. All the furniture was back where it was originally. The ink blob had gone. And then came the matron. And she said to Arthur, why didn't you come to me in the first place? I have a solution for removing ink blobs. And what they'd done is move the furniture around to try and cover it up, but they couldn't. And we do that with our sinfulness, all of us. We try and cover it up. We move the furniture around. We try and hide it with a good education or a posh accent. Or whatever it might be, we try and cover it up. I used to travel on the 125 to London quite a lot. And you get all sorts of people got on at Newark, usually solicitors. And they all sat in a block of four, and then you could hear them talking in very, very Oxbridge accents. And they swore beautifully with Oxbridge accents. Didn't make any difference. We are separated from God. Christ needed to die for us. There is no other way. And he did, once and for all. The just for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous, as it says, to bring you to God. In Hebrews 7:27, it says this, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day, day after day, first for his own sin and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. On the cross, God dealt with the sin of humankind in a way that is adequate for all the sin for all times. Peter says he lays it down that sacrifice for sin was made. Christ died for the sins of the world, for yours and mine. And here we have New Testament belief, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. Galatians 1, that Christ gave himself for our sins. And Peter laying down that truth that the death of Christ is a sacrifice which atones for our sin, says he is the sin offering. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one that was slain. Well, it was a once-for-all act that I keep saying because I want you to remember that. It can't be repeated. It doesn't need to be repeated. And our Holy Communion service is not a repeat of what Christ did on the cross. Some would have us believe that the reenactment of the Last Supper is a repeat of Christ's death on Calvary's body broken and blood shed, but it's not. It's a once-for-all act, was that. Christ died once for all to bring us to God. Our communion service is an act of remembrance, and as we receive this morning the bread, we remember his body broken for us because he loves us. And as we receive the wine, we remember his blood was shed for us. And we feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And as we take the bread and the wine this morning, we say, thank you, Lord, that you died once for all. It's a precious time. And on normally we kneel together at the front of the table, the communion table. And we come as the fellowship of God's people to ask for his forgiveness. And can I just say, that's not an altar. An altar is a place of sacrifice. It's not an altar. Everywhere you don't find another reference to altar in the Book of Common Prayer, it calls it the Holy Table. The Common Worship Book calls it the Holy Table. It's the table where we gather round to remember Christ's death for us, and we feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Eat and drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mystery of the death of our Lord on that cross of Calvary. But we thank you for this truth, that God laid on him the iniquity of us all, that he might bring us to God. Amen.